Kids Playground.
Hooray!
Furries. You've heard about them. The people who dress up in animal suits for fun. They've been the subject of a CSI episode and mentioned on NCIS, The Simpsons, Drew Carey, and more. The film Zootopia was released to the furry fandom before the general public. And the term went viral when a debunked story came out about a kid identifying as a cat that required a litter box at school. It was found to be completely fabricated. They even have their own Wikipedia, Wikifur. And there's a reality TV show in the works about them. I'm Lexi, and this is Delightfully Different. I talked with Carly from Erie, Pennsylvania, who's not only a furry, but she runs a furry group local to Erie and is a panelist at furry conventions.
Well, hi, my name is Carly. I am a furry. I live in Erie, PA, and I have been in the fandom for almost 7 years now.
Now, explain to us what a furry is.
So a furry is somebody who likes anthropomorphic creatures. So if you think of like mascots, that is kind of a furry. If you think of like Bugs Bunny, Tony the Tiger, and even like cereal box stuff, that is all considered technically a furry in its own right.
Now, I think we should start off with the most obvious thing. As I was doing my research, I was totally bummed out to find out that this is not a sexual fetish at all.
So it is and it isn't. With any community, you're going to have that side of things. You're also going to have the non-sexual side of things.
Right.
But actually, to begin with, the furry community was actually a sexual fetish. I believe it was 1980, or 1980s anyway. There was a group of people who did a sort of pen pal thing where they all had this common interest and they wrote stories, comics of their characters and sent them to each other as a way to communicate. And eventually they decided they wanted to meet up. So that became the first furry convention.
Okay.
But there was a lot of highly sexual stuff there. It didn't last terribly long. If I understand the story correctly, the person who kind of created everything passed the leadership of that convention off to somebody else. They copyrighted the name and shut it down. There was a lot of issues. Unfortunately, furries are party animals. So sometimes we get out of hand.
Okay, gotcha. Well, I had read that some people are a little bit offended by the sex question because some people are not in this for the sex at all.
Exactly. So there's a lot of people that are in it for that reason. And then there are people like myself who are not in it for that reason. It's like any other fandom. If you look even into cosplay, cosplayers have their sexual side. They have their non-sexual side. A lot of us in the community use it more as a way to express ourselves. Some people choose to do that sexually. Some people do not.
Okay.
So for me, with having four different suits, each one of them represents a different portion of my personality.
Oh.
And for a lot of people, that's what it is.
For the people who are doing this for it being a sex thing, physically, how do they do it in the fursuit?
So usually there's a zipper that...
Oh.
Can be unzipped for that purpose.
Okay.
But I'm not super familiar with a lot of them. I know that that's how they do it. I know that some of them choose not to use a full body suit during that as well, just because they're hot when you're just walking around. So I can only imagine how hot it would get.
It does seem like it would be very warm. Is there a way to know if you go to a convention or something or you're online to know if the other furries are in it for the sex and to stay away? Or is there a way to recognize what they're in it for?
So a lot of people who are in it for that are pretty good at it. Twitter is a great place. If you're looking, that is where you're going to find it because it's not regulated.
Okay.
But more often than not, if somebody's involved in it, and this by no means is like a law, but a lot of times they're going to end up wearing like underwear over their suits, or they may not be super well brushed, well kempt. But sometimes it can be hard to tell. Like I said, most of them are pretty open about it, and a lot of them choose not to wear their suits for that purpose out in public. They actually have a different suit entirely because people will run up to you and hug you, and that is the last thing you want somebody touching.
That's got to be interesting. Does that happen on the regular, like a stranger coming up to touch you when you're wearing your suit?
Constantly. So I do a lot of public events because I run a group local to Erie. So we do things like the Pride Parade. There's a Celebrate Erie, kind of get together that takes over the course of a weekend where different communities within the Erie region can come out and say, this is who we are and this is what we do. So you'll see hospitals, you'll see a lot of local businesses there selling things. And we go every year. And I remember my first year going, we would walk probably about 10 feet and then stop for about 45 minutes while people cycled in and out for photos and interact. And we'd go another 10 feet. And then it was the same thing, to the point that one of our people actually ended up getting really hot. We had to like take everything off and take a break. Some people are also very scared of us. Usually it's the parents. Ironically, the kid really wants to come over and interact with us, and the parent is horrified every time.
Do people ever get mad at you or angry that you're a furry?
All the time. So with anything, there is judgment. If people don't understand things, they tend to not like it. It kind of intimidates them. So some people are really curious to talk to us forever. Other people will bark at us or glare at us from across the way and make a point to avoid us. And that's fine too. When we're out there doing stuff like that, we're trying to be a good presence for the community. But if the community is not interested, by no means are they forced to come and interact.
Do you feel that furries are portrayed accurately in the media?
It depends on a lot of things. Sometimes I think that it's accurately portrayed, but sometimes I think they blow things out of proportion. So like you said, with the sexual stuff, that's right. Blown way out of proportion. The amount of people that are into it for that is significantly less than the people who are just into it because it's a creative community and kind of a safe space for you to be who you are, even if other people don't like it. Was it Jared Leto, I believe, was recently in a fursuit at the Met Gala. So that was a whole thing too. So it's funny to see stuff like that happening for us. A lot of us were like, oh, so it's okay when they do it. But when we do it, it's a problem.
Well, I feel like as far as the sex goes, I feel like it's any other convention where there's a bunch of people going and a couple people are going to hook up. Is it more like that? Like if it's a convention of realtors, of course, a couple of the realtors are going to end up hooking up at the convention while they're in Vegas for the weekend.
Pretty much. People are going to be people no matter what, regardless of what you're doing, what you're interested in. And, people have sex. That's just how it is. So being in the fandom isn't really determining whether or not they're going to hook up. Now, there are definitely conventions that are more prone to that. There's more party conventions, whereas I deal with more like AnthroCon is probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest, in the U.S. Okay. I want to say last year we had a little over 13,000 attendees. That happens in Pittsburgh, and that one is a very family-friendly convention. So okay. It really just kind of depends on what you're going to.
Now let's talk about the suits. You said it doesn't have to be a full suit.
No, it does not. I would actually say more people have what they would call partials than full suits. Okay. A, full suits are really, really hot. And if you are somebody who's sensitive to heat, you're going to struggle with that. If you're somebody like myself, I fluctuate with my weight constantly. So having a full suit that isn't super adjustable can be a pain in the butt. I'm not convinced that I could fit into mine right now just because I've gained weight. Not only that, but some people aren't looking for that. It can make you feel kind of claustrophobic. So partials are really common. There are also, I mean, like I said, there was over 13,000 attendees last year at AnthroCon, but I want to say only 4,000 of them actually had suits. So they are a luxury within the community. They're very expensive. They're very difficult to maintain sometimes. So not everybody has them.
Do you even have to have a suit or even ears or tail, any sort of fur on you in order to be a furry? Can you just be walking around like your regular old self?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You do not have to have a suit. You don't have to have a character. You don't have to have any of that. If you're somebody who just enjoys seeing it and you want to be around it, then by all means, you are welcome to be a part of it. Nobody's going to gatekeep, which is one of the nice things about the fandom. They're very welcoming. Nobody's going to sit here and tell you, you have to have A, B, and C to be a part of this. And if you're not, you're wasting our time. Like, we'll gladly talk to anybody. We'll welcome pretty much anybody. There's really no regulations.
And are there like specific activities that you do in the suits, or is it just socializing?
A lot of it is socializing. So a lot of furries are also very artistic. So there's a lot of drawing that happens within the community. And dancing is a huge thing within the furry community, to the point that if you go to AnthroCon, they will televise the dance competitions.
Oh, there's a competition.
There are. So there's two types of competitions. The first one is going to be where you create your dance to a specific song and you perform it. And it's kind of like a dance thing of like ballet.
Okay.
Not quite to that length, but it's the same concept. You come up with a routine and you perform it. And then there is a second time throughout the convention. It's called Floor Wars. And what that, like, two random people would come up, they'll play 30 seconds of a song and you have to come up with a routine on the spot. And then the next person will go, and then it goes back to the first person and then the second person again. And it's kind of a dance battle. And they are taken so unbelievably seriously within the community. It's very fun to watch. There's a lot of answers.
It almost sounds like it's a furry version of So You Think You Can Dance.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. If you've ever, I always like to kind of go back to, like, if you've ever seen the movie White Chicks during the dance battle, where you get your little gangs together and you just dance against each other, and whoever wins comes out with usually a little bragging rights.
Okay. All right. That's awesome. Now, how much does it cost to get a suit or the pieces, the ears or whatever?
So it's going to range based on who you go to. If you go to somebody who is not super experienced and they're just starting off, they're not going to charge nearly as much as some of the makers who have been around in the fan. So typical price for like a head, I would say you're probably going to spend anywhere from around 800 up to a few thousand.
Okay, so it's sort of an expensive hobby.
It is incredibly expensive. I don't know what the most expensive suit is now, but I believe it was $13,000. So, and I know that that's been beat, but I don't know what the actual amount is yet.
Okay.
But it can be really expensive. My suits personally range anywhere from 800 to 3,000. And quantity does not necessarily determine price. So, for example, I have my full suit and I paid probably $1,500 for her, but I have a partial that I paid $3,000 for. And the difference is just the experience of the maker, the quality of the suit, the craftsmanship, how much work went into everything, how much time it took for them to do it. Because not only are the materials expensive, but a lot of time goes into that. I mean, a majority of it is done by hand sewing.
Do people ever make their own suits, or does everybody go to like a suit maker? And is that a career to be a suit maker?
It is a career to be a suit maker. Actually, it spiked pretty heavily with COVID because a lot of people were doing it part-time, and then now they can't go into the office or whatever they were doing. So that became what they did. And that was part of why prices went up so much, because a lot of people went from needing to live off of that to really build their career. Now, there are people who make their own suits. It's actually pretty common. I'm going to be making my own suit for the first time in the 7 years that I've been here later on this year.
Nice.
But it's a lot of work. It takes a lot of time and effort. I recently started fixing up the suit that I most recently bought, and that was frustrating all on its own. So I can't imagine the amount of patience that goes into actually making one. I'm looking forward to experiencing it, but it's going to be a journey for sure.
It seems like it takes a lot of talent in order to make one of those suits.
It definitely does. There's a lot of craftsmanship that goes into it that I'm sure I don't even understand yet, but I have a lot of friends who are makers. I have a lot of friends who are artists, and I see how long it takes them to put something like that together.
And the characters that you choose, or people in general choose, are these characters fabricated out of thin air, or are they based on like real animals and or real cartoon characters that from your childhood?
So a little bit of all of them. It depends on who you talk to. So a lot of people will take characters from like Pokemon and say, well, what if Pikachu was actually a wolf and that's going to be my character? But then there are some people like myself who said, if I was an animal, what animal would I want to be? I love cats. I have two cat suits. Both of mine are calico, because when I was younger, I was really into Harry Potter and my Patronus was a calico cat. So there went into that. Now, and there are also people in the artist community who will just kind of come up with designs that they like and sell them as adopts. So you can pay them for the character rights. And then you can build around that if you aren't creative with your own stuff. I know I struggled really hard with that personally. So three of the four that I own are not my design.
It's a whole thing. I've got a list of vocabulary words here, and I'm wondering if you can define some of them for me.
Oh, gosh. Okay, I can try.
The first one is yifting.
Yiffing?
Or yiffing, I guess. Yiff. Is it Y-I-F-F-I-N-G?
Yes. So that is having sex in a suit.
Okay. What is a fursona?
So a fursona is going to be your character. That's going to be the character that you identify as. Some people call them characters because they choose not to identify as that particular character. It's just something that they like, where some people have their fursonas, which is kind of an extension of them in animal form.
What is an otherkin?
So that one I'm not entirely sure on. It's one of those things where there are different categories within the fandom, and kin are the different, I don't want to say like genders because it has nothing to do with gender, but it's the only way that I can think to describe it, where you identify as different things and the word in front of kin is part of what determines what you identify as.
So they identify as something other than human.
To my knowledge, yeah, I'm not super familiar with that term. So that one is definitely not a good question for me.
Okay.
But that's what I've gathered out of it from in conversation in passing.
Okay. Okay. What is a Therion? Therion?
Therians. So Therians are not a part of the, well, I can't say they're not a part of the fandom, but they're not considered really furries. So a Therian is somebody who firmly believes that they are an animal trapped within a human body.
Okay.
So they're not dressing up as a wolf because they think it's cute. They're dressing up or acting as a wolf because they truly believe that they are a wolf.
On the inside. Mm-hmm. What is a gray muzzle?
So a gray muzzle is a really old fursuiter. So when you get people who are in the fandom and they've been in the fandom, they're, you know, 60, 70 years old, 50, whatever your age is, and they're still running around in a suit, we'll call them a gray muzzle.
I understand that most furries are actually in their 20s. They're much younger. So it's probably unusual to see a gray muzzle.
It's not uncommon, but it's definitely a younger community. I have friends who are in their 50s who still suit. I have friends who are, you know, 19 who are still in, you know, just getting into the fandom. Okay. A lot of people use it in the younger community because it's a good way to find who you are without judgment. So a lot of people will actually, if they're thinking about maybe transitioning genders, I've seen it happen multiple times where somebody will create a character of the gender they want to be, to identify as a trial run, as a safe space, because their parents, there's no judgment with family, there's no judgment from anybody, and it gives them the chance to determine, do I want to be masculine? Do I want to be feminine? It's also just a really creative community. So a lot of younger people being as creative as they are find it and want to get involved.
Okay, now define baby fur.
So there's a couple different definitions for baby fur. Baby furs can just be really young furries. But there are also fursuiters who dress up as babies and want to be treated as a baby. So that is, depending on which way you're going, it can be one of things.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. And how about a milfer?
That one I'm not sure on. That one's a new term to me. I don't keep up with all of the terms in the fandom because there are thousands. And I swear they add new ones every day.
You're listening to Delightfully Different. I'm Lexi, and I'm talking to Carly, a furry from Pennsylvania.
You mentioned cosplay earlier.
Yes.
Are furries and cosplays the same thing? Or are they hand in hand? How are they related to each other?
So they're very similar. I actually started out in the cosplay community and kind of moved away from it just because it was very overwhelming. There was a lot of, like, I guess to explain the difference between them will make more sense. So a cosplayer is somebody who's dressing up as a character from an existing show. So if you think like Naruto, somebody who's dressing up as Naruto is a cosplayer. But in the furry community, you're creating your own character and portraying your own character. You're not, you know, dressing up as something that's already existing. So there's a little more creativity to it. But unfortunately, at least in my area with the cosplay community, there is a lot of gatekeeping. First thing that I can think of is Love Live is a really popular thing to cosplay as, but it's like a dancing idol group and people like to get their group together and they all be one of the idols and then they do their dances together. But it became a huge thing of like, well, I'm the true Ruby. I can be the only Ruby and nobody else can cosplay Ruby because I'm the chosen one. And there was a lot of just like unnecessary stuff like that. And I'm like, well, this is just annoying. I just wanted to come here to have a good time. And I can't dress up with what I want to be because you want to be the only one. So
bizarre.
It kind of felt like a competition in the cosplay community in a lot of ways. But, and that's not to say that it's a bad community at all. I still am involved in it. It just wasn't as open and welcoming as the furry community is.
I read that it's very opening. Are you open with your real name and personality when you're a furry, like when you're communicating at conventions or online? Like, do they know your real name and do you know theirs or do you keep in character the whole time?
It kind of depends on who I'm around. If I'm going to a convention and meeting up with people that I've never really met before, then I'll probably just introduce myself as one of my characters because it's a lot easier. It's actually funny how many people I know in the community. I know their character's name. I know their suit. But if you ask me what their real name is, I have no idea. A lot of people are definitely a little more closed when it comes to being open with their personal life within the fandom because there is so much judgment with it. Furries get a very negative outlook for a lot of reasons, and I understand it because, like I said, a lot of times it's just people don't know, and it's weird. And I get it because when I first found the fandom, I thought it was really weird and wanted nothing to do with it. So I get it.
What
But
made you fall in love with it then?
so ironically, I went. So I guess I grew up in a really small country, like 45-minute bus ride to get to school because of how far out I was.
Oh.
And then I decided I wanted to go to college and I wanted to be a vet tech. And one of the better veterinary technician schools in the area is in Pittsburgh. I decided that I was going to go there and pursue my degree. And ultimately, I don't use it anymore, but I did get it. But I happened to be moving into my dorm on AnthroCon weekend.
Oh.
And the horror in my eyes when I pull into this giant city that's already overwhelming, and there's just people running around in animal costumes, and I had no clue what was going on. And I was like in tears. I was so scared. I'm like, I don't like this city, and this is weird. I don't understand any of it. And ironically, my roommate was a furry when I moved into the dorm. And she was kind of, and she didn't really have very many people skills. It wasn't mean or anything like that, but she just didn't really like to communicate. So she came off kind of cold. So that kind of pushed me away from it as well. But while I was at the school, I met a friend who was also a furry. And I was talking to him. His name was AJ. And I was like, I don't understand it. Why do you do it? So he was like, well, more than one. Why don't you try one on? We'll walk around the city. You can experience it for yourself and then determine from there. So I did, and I fell in love with it, and I've been in the fandom ever since, and
I
I'm
mean,
still very good friends with him.
it seems fun, like to be walking around as a character and have people come up to you and enjoy you.
Being an adult in the world, there's not a whole lot of fun that comes out of wake up, go to work, come home, go to bed, and repeat. So it's nice to find something where there's no rules, there's no obligations. It's just you do it when you feel like doing it. And you can make it what you want to make it. If you just want to throw it on in the house and make some videos on TikTok, like so many people do, you can. If you want to go out in public and do it, you can. There's conventions, there's meets. My group gets together once a month. We actually have a meet tonight. So it's just a good way to find a good community.
Well, tell me about your fursonas. You've got four of them.
I have four suits. I have several characters.
Okay.
So my full suit is Kokoro. She is a Japanese bobtail. She's a calico cat. I went with the bobtail because big tails get in the way and I trip over them all the time. So I liked her little nub.
Okay.
And I was also kind of a anime nerd at the time that I made her. So I'm like, I want the Japanese cat. That sounds cool.
She looks it like anime. When you showed me the photo, I was like, that looks like anime.
Yeah, she's heavily driven off of that. And then I have Kazumi, who is my calico cat partial. A very good friend of mine made her. I bought her because he put probably 3 months worth of work just into her fishtail alone. And I fell in love with the tail and then I fell in love with the costume. So she's kind of my happy-go-lucky character. I have a Dutch Angel Dragon, which Dutch Angel Dragons are considered like a horse dragon cross, I guess. That's the best way to describe it. Her name is Tobby. She is kind of my like brain dead ditzy character that I just kind of throw on. Usually she's my late night character because I'm overwhelmed for the night and I don't have the ability to continue to play this character. So I just kind of walk around clueless with her. And then most recently I bought a bunny named Faye, who I actually turned into a jackalope to make her a little more different. And she's like my witchy baby. So because outside of all of the fandom, I do a lot with the witch community and the pagan community as well. So she's kind of that.
Have you ever gotten bullied for this lifestyle?
Oh yeah, thousands of times. Actually, last weekend I was at HazardCon, which is a local pop culture convention that we have here. It mostly deals with Japanese and anime cultures. And we were outside on the patio taking photos. And this random kid came running over to us on all fours and started barking at us and asked if we wanted to fight. And I'm like, you're like an 8-year-old child. I am 27. I'm just gonna walk away from this situation. You get bullied. I mean, online, there will people, oh my God, TikTok is a great place. If you're a furry and you want to get bullied, just go to TikTok because people will comment on it and be like, oh, it's hunting season, time to get the guns. And it's like, why? Why are you wasting your breath with this? Like, if you don't like it, just walk away from it like anything else.
Right? You seem to be enjoying yourself and not hurting anybody. Does your family know that you do this?
They do. So when I first got into it, I was still living with my parents. I won't say that they're not supportive, but they're not supportive of it either. Like, they acknowledge that I do it, and they're just like, oh yeah, okay. Well, anyway, so moving on to some other topic. My mom is definitely more supportive than my dad. But neither of them are unsupportive. I just don't think they understand it, and I don't think they really care enough to look into it. So they're just like, yeah, you do you. You're an adult. Go for it.
How does it affect your dating life?
So I have been in a relationship for almost 6 years now with the same person.
Okay.
In the beginning, it was a little rocky, not to go into his personal life, but he had an experience with somebody in the fandom that did not go well at all. So okay. He kind of had a negative outlook going into it. And that definitely caused some problems to begin with. But he's moved past it. He is not really involved in it, but he doesn't like give me any problems with it. And he's supportive of what I do, but he's like, yeah, that's great. You go do that. I'm just going to go do something else with my friends.
Well, that's nice that he's supportive of you. And I read that there are significantly more males that do this than females, like 80% male, 20% female in furrydom, or at least people who identify as male. How does that affect you? Do you come across sexism in this community?
Not typically, no. The community, like you said, they're really understanding anything and everything. There's very few things that they will not tolerate, and that's usually stuff like pedophiles, zoophiles, stuff like that. They're not going to tolerate anything that could actually hurt somebody or put somebody in a bad situation. So there's not really a lot of judgment within the community itself for anything. I've only had it happen a couple times where people tried to be maybe more flirty than they should have in the moment. But I've never had any issues with, well, because you're a woman, you can't do that. Or because you're a woman, you have to do this. It's just kind of a group of friends. Like the whole community is honestly just one group of friends.
That's wonderful to hear. And I understand that many furries and I identify as queer in some sort of a fashion. I'm assuming you don't because you've got a boyfriend, but or maybe you do. Do you? And do they? Am I reading the statistic correctly?
Yeah, no, you definitely are. A lot of the community is within the LGBTQ to some level. I actually am bisexual,
okay.
But I've been with my boyfriend for 6 years now. Again, it's a safe place for you to kind of determine who you are and find out what you want to do. Especially for the younger community where you have parents who maybe aren't as understanding or as accepting, and you got to find a way to do it safely. So it's an easy way to say, well, this is just my character. My character is male. Even though I'm female, my character is male. Or even though I'm straight, my character is gay. And it's a good way for you to really experiment and find who you are without having to and explain to people, you know, well, yeah, last month I was considering transitioning, or I was considering being in a relationship with a woman, but I've decided it wasn't for me. And now everybody's kind of confused. And it just adds stress that you don't need on top of it.
You mentioned art earlier, how there's a lot of artists. How are art and music incorporated into the lifestyle? And I also read that some furries are really into puppetry.
Yes, a lot of furries are into puppetry because it's very similar material, similar thing. You're still playing a character even when you're doing that. But art is huge because a lot of people that are in their suits are not interested in talking when they're in the suit. They don't want to break character. It's almost like Disney. You don't want to talk, especially to the child, as you're dressed as this animal. You want to keep that illusion going. So we will make badges, which have like our character's face. Usually it's usually just the face, but sometimes it can be the full body. It'll have their name on it. And on the back of it, we'll have any of their like social media if you wanted to try to follow them. So okay. It's kind of a way to communicate without communicating.
If someone wanted to get involved in the furry lifestyle, either specifically where you live in Erie, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Or nationwide. Do you have any good way for the people to get involved? Maybe some websites that you want to throw out there or some advice that you'd like to give?
Yeah. So I don't know if DeviantArt is still as big as it used to be, but a lot of furries are on DeviantArt. There is a lot of people on Instagram who are a part of it. Twitter, again, is a big one, though I do recommend using caution if you are under 18 looking through furry stuff on Twitter. Most local places have them as far as like groups go. So I run the one here in Erie. I have friends who run one in Ohio. I have a friend who runs one in New York. I know the people who run the Pittsburgh group. So really just reaching out within the community is a good one. I know Fur Affinity is also a website that, to my knowledge, is still up. I don't personally use any of them. A lot of the younger groups use those, but just finding your community, even going to conventions. If you have anime conventions within your area and you're trying to find furries, 9 times out of 10, we will go to those because a lot of smaller areas don't have furry conventions, but we still have it. We still want to wear it. It's still kind of like cosplay. So we'll still go.
So all in all, if you want to get involved in this community, it's a very welcoming community that doesn't care about your gender or your sexuality or whatever kind of stuff that you're into.
Exactly. We are incredibly welcoming. Like I said, the only things that we're not going to tolerate is stuff that most normal people would not tolerate. So unfortunately, we're being able to hide behind a face. Unfortunately, bad people do tend to find their way into the community. So, but we usually root them out pretty quickly. The bigger things that, I can say within the fandom is if you're going to interact with people, know their age, because it's really easy to confuse an age. I mean, if you see me in my costume, you're going to have no idea how old I am.
Right.
So that's a big thing. And just be cautious, especially if you're at a convention itself, if somebody in room parties are huge, if somebody invites you to something like that, or even just a gathering, make sure you know who the people are that you're meeting up with. Just be smart about safety, but I would say 90% of the community is absolutely harmless.
I very much appreciate you talking to me today. And if it's all right with you, I'll put links to your socials on the post when I post this.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you taking the time to reach out.
Thank you so much for talking to me and opening my eyes about this lifestyle. I had no idea what it was like.
Yeah, not a problem. I'm glad I could talk to somebody about it. Like I said, I've been doing it for years, and I just recently started getting into the process of educating on the fandom. That's what I do at all my panels. So
it seems like furries are just like any other group of fans. They found a community of welcoming people who share a love of anthropomorphic creatures. There's even a scientific research team dedicated to studying furries called the International Anthropomorphic Research Project. They refer to themselves as Fur Science. They found that almost 90% of furries are in their 20s, 90% are white, 80% identify as LGBTQIA in some fashion, over 80% identify as male, and over 70% are college educated. And they're not having sex any more or any less or any freakier than the average person, despite the reputation. And they found that interacting with other furries can be healing for someone who's been bullied, which over 60% of furries have reported. Thanks for joining me on this episode of Delightfully Different. If you or someone you know lives life differently, hit me up. LexiOnTheRadio@gmail.com. LexiOnTheRadio@gmail.com. Or go to DelightfullyDifferentPodcast.com. Thanks, and have a delightful week.